petitioning for your holy purposes. This your servant whom you have placed in our midst, that he may draw from your heart and break bread with us, and share that which you have laid on his spirit, that which you have placed in his heart, and share with us all. And so when I say thank you for giving him the boldness, for giving him the courage, for giving him the utterance to share everything you've laid in his heart, that we may hear of this day. And may we be of open eyes, inner eyes, inner ears, to hear you speak to us. May we receive you as you are. May you have your way in us and through us, for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, and good morning, or good afternoon soon.
Let me just
fix this technology. You know, we are going to Fiji with the team. Seth is leading the team. It's always exciting to go to our country. Many of you are going to be traveling in the summer. It doesn't matter where you go. God is with you, and wherever you go, you will encounter things. And keep your eyes open, and your. Got to turn off this. All right. Now, one thing, I remember 2012, we went to Fiji. And I was looking forward, my wife and I and the two kids. The first week, I had diarrhea. You don't want to have diarrhea when you travel. Oh, it was terrible. So I was trying to jet lag. And then, I don't know, the food, or I've been Norwegianized in the, acclimatized by the weather here and the. So when I went home, it was, so I tried to recover. So in the midst of that illness that I went through, the cyclone came. It was a big, big cyclone that hit Fiji. And I have to tell you that it's not funny to be throwing up. There's no lights. And then you think, it feels like that the roof is about to to blow out. So my children, they were sitting there, oh, Dad, look, there's a tree flying over there. Yeah, so the devastation the next day when we came outside, oh, it was terrible. The lights off, you know, so our Christmas and our time in Fiji was just recovering and trying to hobble over the electric wires that are down there. So it wasn't a good experience. But I stood there and saw all this devastation. I saw the footpath, what the cyclone has left, the impact that the cyclone left. We didn't see the wind. We didn't identify the wind. We feel the power of the wind, the impact. And we saw the impact of what it did. It was so powerful. When I think of the Holy Spirit, the picture comes to mind was the wind that I experienced in Fiji. Yeah? You don't see it, but you see the devastating impact that it did in our lives. So that's the impact of the wind. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's not just, we're not talking about the spirit of Christmas, we're not talking about the the spirit of Gandhi or we're talking about God. Amen? And God, the Holy Spirit, he's, like I said there, he's a co-equal, co-eternal spirit of the Father and the Son, who inspire the scripture, brings new life to the people of God. Amen? He's present, he's omniscient, he's all-knowing, he's infinite, he's eternal. He's not just a force or an influence. But he himself, in the very beginning, I'm not going to go into this, but I just want us to focus right. Amen? Amen? Focus right. Go back to Genesis 1. You see the Holy Spirit hovering over darkness, creating, being part of the Trinity, the triune God, moving, functioning with God the Father and God the Son. I love that picture. And we look at his work in the Old Testament and how he's been working. Remember, when we read the Old Testament, you will see the Spirit of God come, the chosen people, to empower them to fulfill certain tasks. I remember Joseph. Remember Joseph? Who was in prison, yeah? And then he had a dream, or the king had a dream. Joseph, the story of the Joseph with many colors, the coat of many colors, you know that. And then he ended up in prison, and then the king saw a dream, and the Spirit of God enabled Joseph to interpret this incredible dream and the impact that it had on the nation. So you have people like him, people like Joshua, people like David, ordinary people in whom the Spirit of God, that the scripture told us that the Spirit of God came upon them with power to complete and fulfill certain tasks. Then he talks about the prophets, a group of prophets that the Spirit came upon them and they begin to prophesy. They see what God sees in the history of mankind or what is coming. You have Joel who prophesied that in the last days, I will pour my spirit. It's fascinating and revelating just thinking about this. And here, pointing towards the coming of the Messiah, the bearer and the giver of the Spirit of the living God. We see in the life of Jesus, in his ministry, he was baptized and the Spirit descended like a dove. The Spirit led him here. Every ministry, every aspect of the ministry of Jesus, we see the work, the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus has his followers, the disciples. Jesus taught them about what is coming. As we read here in John 14. Now, when I thought of this, when I thought of the promises that Jesus gave the disciples, he specifically chose these people. And now he's telling them that he's about to leave. And he's talking about his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. The glorification of Jesus concerning his coming, fulfilling everything that he came to do. He didn't go up in heaven and, I've got to do something. No. He accomplished everything that he came for. Now he's about to leave. He has these disciples, some of them, they're all human, people like you and I. You have different characters and personalities. And many times they often miss out what Jesus is trying to teach them. Amen? Just like us. You have Peter, who mess up many times. You have others. And then Jesus said, I'm about to go. And you are going to fulfill what I have called you to do. You're going to carry the task. You are going to be the missionary, and the birth of the early church in the New Testament is in your hand. And so he entrusted them an incredible responsibility, a responsibility that matters to the kingdom, a responsibility that will make an impact between life, eternal life, and internal separation for others who believe and don't believe. So, I remember I went to the, you know, my kids, eh? I love my kids. Some of the most joyous moment when I know that, especially my son, he's not here, so I can, especially when I know he did something wrong. My daughter, Dad, you know what Josiah, he, so I'm standing there and he's, you know, trying to avoid eye contact with me as much as possible. Son, huh? Come here. Sit on my lap. So tell me what happened. Yeah? Sometimes we are like that. So the disciples, how could they really take on the responsibility of Jesus. Say, yes, yes, Master, we'll go. We'll do everything that you tell us. We'll obey you. Even the message of the kingdom that Jesus entrusted them to keep and don't sway away, that you dilute this message. It's important. So how could he possibly, they could possibly, as human, as frail people who love Jesus, who wants to do what Jesus call them to do, how could they possibly carry out the responsibility that Jesus gave them without failing at any level? Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher. He will teach you every single thing that I taught you. He will bring in remembrance. He will keep you from all wrong. Amen? He will comfort you. He will never leave. In other words, Jesus said, who is coming, who I'm going to send, will carry on the same comfort I gave you, the same teaching that I gave you, the same peace that I gave you. He will continue my work. He will remain with you forever. How's that for a gift? And he did that. You know, there were many other religions at that time, many teaching, many kinds of worldview and philosophy, so powerful that could easily silence the words of the disciple. But the Spirit of God, amen, empower them, give them the ability and the capacity to remain steady, to remain focused, to keep the truth that God entrusted to them. He is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus did that to them. Amazing. After the ascensions of Jesus, even before that, Peter, the guy who denied Jesus, no, I don't know him. Yes, we saw you. No, I don't know that man. That same person who failed Jesus Now in the book of Acts, we saw a demonstration of that. This frail, sometimes they fail, fearful disciples who left. I mean, during Jesus' arrest, when Jesus was arrested, and during his death, these disciples stood there in front of the crowd, filled by the Holy Spirit, empowered with new strength, new energy. Peter stood up and spoke boldly. 3,000 people came, believe in Christ. That message that Christ entrusted them brought revelation. It brought conviction into the lives of people who were listening. The role also of the Holy Spirit, it says that he will convince the world of their sins. He brings conviction to us. He helps us. So here, the disciples, I'll just rush through. Book of Acts, we saw what happened. We all know what happened. So the life and the impact of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the disciples. And now a revolution is about to take place. The church and the movement of the Spirit-filled body of Christ is about to explode. It's not the church just started there in Jerusalem, but way back 4,000 years, time of Abraham, God promised something. And here we have the remnants, people who believe in Christ, filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit.
That is the work of the Holy Spirit.
He brought the truth of the Word of God and remind you of who you are in him. In Romans, he says, for you are what? No longer slave, but you are a child of God. Yeah? That the Spirit of God, he said, he's stirring within us. That the Spirit of God in us, crying out to cry. He's saying, Luke, there's your father. You have every single right to call him father. Amen. When the world saying you are nothing, you are this. The church of God is founded in his word and the work of the Holy Spirit, reminding us in who we are in Christ. Amen. It doesn't matter what the past. When God's power comes through the person of the Holy Spirit, he transforms us. He renew our mind. We change from being thinking like this to We change from being wondering what people think about us to, I don't care. I will pray for these people. I love them. Only the Spirit of God can do that in us. Amen? That he's alive in us. He gives assurance to us of who you are. Amen. He teaches us all the truth. He renews us as believers. I think this is fantastic. There is no other religion in the world that could do that. That gives you life. That transforms you from here to here. I remember I met a guy in Portland, Oregon. He's a Hare Krishna on the marketplace. So he came to me, you know. They were doing whatever they were doing. And gave me a track. So I'm, hey, how are you? I look at him, nice cool dress with a Hare Krishna. So I said, so how long you've been doing this? He looked at me, 4 years. Oh, you like it? You like being in Hare Krishna? He said to me, that keeps me out of trouble. This guy, that conversation, this guy is a believer now, a worship leader in one of the churches. Just start from that conversation. Yeah? And we're looking at what the Holy Spirit can do. Remember last week we talked about Matthew, how God called him out? Sometimes we underestimate. A friend of mine, we were talking the other day. He said to me, Joely, we need to evangelize Norway. We're going to bring revival in this land. Yeah, ooh, yes. Yeah, I agree with you. We're going to reach out to the Norwegian. Okay, yeah. I sat there and I said, okay, all right. How can I encourage my brother? So as we sat there, I said to him, can I just say something? You know, sometimes we foreigners, we come here, which is wonderful. We're here to be a blessing. Sometimes we have a thought that we come here, we're going to do this, this nation is going on. You know, we have a part. But we are both reminded in our conversation, it just came clear to me, I said, brother, you know, before we even set foot in this land, the Spirit of God is already working here. Amen? God is already doing some mighty things in this nation. So our role is to find out what God wants you to do here. Cooperate together. Join force together with the churches. Let's move together. Not just you or us, we're going to do this and we're going to do this. No. We are going to work together with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who's been here longer than we do? That brings relief and comfort to us. That as a church, we know our role. We know where God wants us to serve. We know what the Spirit, where he's leading us as a church, empowering us, in what direction. He knows that important of us cooperating together with the Spirit of God, moving in the churches around here, doing great things. Not only in the churches, but in your life, in your family's life. Amen? Sometimes we need to wake up, look up, and pay attention to what the Spirit of God is doing all around us. Amen. Oh, I'm sweating. He enables us to pray. The Holy Spirit, I'll just put that up. You can look at it for a few minutes. He enables us to put the flesh away. He helps us to grow, to mature, to move away from being childlike. To grow into maturity in the Lord. And finally, he brings resurrection to us as believers on the last days. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. One day, it says in Revelation, the climax of all these things, that God's new, the kingdom that Jesus came to usher in, the kingdom of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Moving, bringing people to be part of this incredible kingdom. Imagine the day we'll stand before God and all the nations of the world, all tribes, there singing, salvation belongs to our God. Yeah? The Holy Spirit keeps us focused. Okay. What does the Holy Spirit do to the life of the church? We look at the Old Testament church. We see, the New Testament. There are new believers, 3,000 of them, after the preaching. They all came together, and there was this community of Spirit-filled remnant of God. Probably the first Bible school. There is something about this church. The book of Acts chapter 2 verse 42 describe the characteristic of this church, and I'm going to end there. They were a loving church. They loved one another. The impact of the Holy Spirit on believers. Believers come together and love one another. Amen? There is this incredible love that exists in the life of believers, in a community, in the church. They were a worshiping church. When we read the book of Acts, they didn't stop going to the synagogue. They go there and pray, and they meet together in their homes. They break bread together and worship with the sacrament and also in their worship. So there is celebration here, and there is awe and reverence among them, the reverence before God. And they, sorry, there's one more thing. It was an evangelistic church. Last one, they were a learning church. First thing, they submit themselves to the teaching of the apostle. All believers, they were studying the book. They were studying the law. They were studying the message of Jesus, this gospel of salvation. They were loving. Okay, there was fellowship in there. They were giving to each other. They were looking after one another. They were worshiping God. And then what happened? That God was adding their numbers every day. Amen. And I see that, the incredible move of God among their lives. They love one another. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. They devote themselves to the authority and the teaching of the Word of God. They submit themselves to the apostles. They are growing in their faith. They were worshiping, breaking bread together, and they were going out, talking about Jesus, preaching the gospel. And the church saw that, Peter and the apostles. Not only that, but they saw the manifestation of the power of God. Miracles, signs, and wonders begin to happen. And, you know, I hope that today would be a day of reminding ourselves that we are the temple of the Spirit of God. Amen? That He has given us the Holy Spirit. Do we acknowledge Him? Do we trust in His guidance? Do we seek after His wisdom? Do we walk in His instruction? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift that You've given us, the Spirit of power, love. We thank You for giving us Yourself in the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your companion, that every day of our life is spent in Your presence and in Your company through the Holy Spirit. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.